Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the OBSE Perfection Limited Q4 and FY25 conference call hosted by Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Pandey from Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi all, good evening. Welcome to the FY25 conference call of OBSE Perfection. We would like to thank the management of OBSE Perfection to give us this opportunity. Today we have Mr. Saksham Likha and Mr. Sanjeev Verma. Saksham Likha is the Managing Director, and Mr. Sanjeev Verma is the CFO of the company. Before we begin, I would like to remind you about the safe harbor. The management will be making some forward-looking statements in today's presentation, and this must be understood along with the uncertainty and the risk associated with the company. I will now hand over the conference to Mr. Saksham for his opening remarks. Over to you, Mr. Saksham. Thanks.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Nuvama. Thank you, Vijay, for hosting us today for this con call. I would like to extend a very warm welcome to you all for OBSE Perfection's first-ever earnings conference call for the year ended 31st March 2025. Year 25 has been monumental for OBSE Perfection, with multiple positive milestones: successful IPO, highest-ever revenue, commencement of new facility, foray into hot and cold forging capabilities, revenue flow started from defense. During this year, we have worked on strengthening our business for future growth by way of four key identified areas of expansion: team expansion, industry expansion, geographical expansion, and process expansion. For financial year 25, we've clocked the highest-ever total revenue of 145 crores, with approximately 19% EBITDA margins. We now have a very strong order book of 700-plus crores, which provides us revenue visibility over and above our existing revenue and customers. Of this, our automotive order book is approximately 460 crores, while non-auto order book stands at approximately 250 crores, both of which is to be served in over a period of six to seven years. Within non-automotive, our defense order book of 130 crores is for a period of 10 years, translating to approximately 13 crores every year, and our current monthly revenue run rate of defense also stands at 1 crore. In another update, we opened our fifth facility in Pune during the month of April 25. This facility will focus largely on forging capability, which we plan to introduce in-house over the next 3 months. Machine lines for the same have been ordered and booked. From our IPO proceeds, we have 20 crores of unutilized funds as of now, lying with us in our bank accounts currently. This will be used as per utilization plan. Close to 15 crores will be used for CapEx in our third facility in Chennai and balance 5 crores for fourth facility in Pune. Advances for machines purchased in the facility have been paid, which is 5%-10%, and balance will be paid on delivery of these machines. We expect to use the majority of these unutilized funds within the first half and some remaining portion in the second half of this financial year. We remain optimistic in terms of our growth, order wins, key focus industry expansion, and process improvement to deliver even better results during financial year 26. We expect a growth of over 40% in the current financial year 26. Over to you, Vijay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So thank you, Mr. Saksham, for your opening remarks. I will now open the call for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tej Patil from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Mr. Tej Patil, can you hear us? As the participant is not in queue, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Charisha from Vendor Growth Partner LLP. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, management, for a good set of numbers in this year. My first question is, the tax percentage in this year is less. So how is it going to be going forward? Is it going to be less or will it be remain the same? And second question is, can you throw some light on the additional product segments in the fifth facility, which you have told, like hot and cold forging? So how complex are these products and how critical is it for the end user?
So we expect the tax percentage to remain constant and it would be approximately 25% this year as well. We don't see an increase or drop in that. So that answers your first question. And with respect to new products, there's multiple new products that OBSC Perfection is engaged in developing right now. We, on an average, within our own company, we develop more than one new product almost every day. One new part number is developed almost every day. Right now, the company is focused in key areas like marine, EV, as well as defense. So over the last 2 months, we have developed multiple products for that are to be used in electric vehicles, that are to be used in defense systems. Some of these are of Israeli origin. Some are, you know, manufactured for PSUs in India. So there's a lot of development happening right now. So, and some also belong to the ammunition sector. So there's a lot of focus there. And within EVs, we are making parts for cold plates. And now those are deeply technical things and a little difficult to understand. But these are the plates that keep an electric vehicle system cool. So we develop a lot of parts for that over the last 6 months. So all in all, a lot of very critical, safety critical components are being developed at OBSCP. We are continuing to focus on further getting into the precision realm of engineering where our products are controlled within microns of tolerances.
My last question. Like you have mentioned that the contract is for long duration, right? For 4 years, 5 years or something like that. So what's the process of onboarding new customers? Like in terms of the tenure, how does the working capital work there? From manufacturing to payment? And apart from this, like because we set up the plant, which is approximately 8 lakhs plus, so what is the payback period like?
So how do we acquire new customers? That was your first question, I believe. There's multiple parts to your questions. And so we understand the industry very well now. We've been a manufacturing company, a precision engineering company for a while, and we come from a strong foundation. So we understand where the customers are and we understand where value is. So we approach those customers. There's an audit process. There's exchange of request for quotes, which we quote. Once our price is approved, the audits happen, which usually last 6 to 8 months. And then we develop a product. That product goes under validation, which takes another 4 to 5 months, usually in an automotive scenario. After that, we are placed mass production orders for a certain part number. So that answers your first question. And getting to the second part of it, we usually invest into a certain line or a certain machine expecting a return on investment within 3 to 4 years. That is our usual target of setting up a dedicated line for a certain customer. We want the ROI to come within 3 to 4 years. Was there another part to your question that I missed?
From the time of manufacturing till the payment, what is the cycle like? Do we get advance payment or after entire manufacturing is done and everything is sent to the client, we get the payment?
So most of this is already answered in all the documents we've shared, but it depends from segment to segment. In automotive Indian business, the payment terms usually remain around 60 days. And when we think, when we talk about export, it goes up to 120 days, 100, 120 days. In defense, if you're working with PSUs in India, the standard payment terms are 45 days. So that's...
Yeah, besides that, hi, this is Sanjeev Verma. So besides that, we are also working with some of our export customers, for sort of credit lines, which, fast tracks are receivables, by at least 20-30 days. So those are future activities which we are now working on with some of our customers like, ZF, Teneco, these names are out there.
So we are currently working on a bill discounting scheme with our global customers. And what this will enable us to reduce the payables of exports drastically at very low rate of interest at par with the European banks. So this is something in under discussion, and the proposal is being discussed as well.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tej Patel from Niveshe. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Am I audible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and first of all, congratulations for your IPO and a wonderful set of numbers. So my first question is, if you could, help us clarify, there are almost about 26 SKUs that we provide, and there are also a few sub-assemblies among those SKUs. So I just wanted to understand, if you could help us break your revenue among, let's say, what are your top SKUs maybe, and what percentage of revenue those SKUs form. This is one part of a broader question. My second question is, I see we have multiple clients from ZF, Tata, to defense and bell. So if we could just break up in terms of who is our top two or top three customers, and where we get in terms of, if we could just break it in terms of revenues, and lastly, if you could just help us understand in terms of where our components are going in the end vehicle. I mean, what if you could just help us break your revenue in terms of how much is it coming from two wheelers, let's say, or a CV or a three wheeler? That would be quite helpful. That's the first question.
Can I have your name, please?
Tej.
Okay. Hi, Tej.
Yeah.
Thank you for your questions. So as per our DRHP, we work on 26 SKUs, which when we say 26 SKUs, we mean 26 categories of SKUs. So our independent SKUs is way more than 500 right now. So we manufacture 500 different part numbers, but they can be categorized in 26 different broad categories.
Got it.
So the largest category for us today happens, two of the largest would be, one is what we call a sensor boss. And a sensor boss is a precision turned part that finds application in exhaust systems of vehicles. So that is one of our component that we manufacture and export for truck manufacturers across and passenger vehicle manufacturers across India. And we also export these ones to Europe and the US. Then we manufacture, one of our large component segment is also the shock absorber rod. So a shocker rod is essentially supplied to our large-scale shocker manufacturers, and we are one of the largest shocker rod manufacturer in the country right now. And we have agreements and orders from the largest OEMs manufacturing these parts. Procuring these parts, I'm sorry. So those are our top two, and third would be, the third category would right now could also be our defense parts, which is one of our larger categories. And just from a category point of view, these are ammunition, artillery, fuse parts. And as of today, this would be our third largest broad category of parts that we manufacture.
Got it. And any idea in terms?
Yeah.
Sorry. Any idea? I mean, the top two, can I consider the top two, the shock absorber and sensor boss, to form about, let's say, more than 50-60% of our auto revenue?
The top two would be about 40% of our auto revenue. 40%, yes.
Got it. Got it.
And our top three customers right now are the ZF Group, which is a German 50 billion euro top line MNC with presence across the world. And then we have Tenneco. Tenneco Inc. is an American OEM manufacturing exhaust systems, suspension products for passenger vehicles, commercial vehicles, etc. The third largest customer as of today is JTEKT, or also called JTECT. So JTECT is, again, a steering system manufacturer.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. So the end consumer is what I understand is mostly PV, passenger vehicle, and the commercial vehicles, right?
For the end usage for us is mostly passenger vehicle, commercial vehicles. Now, of course, there's a lot of push towards EV. A lot of our parts, the new parts are going to be used in EVs. Then, like I said, ammunitions, artillery fuses. Now we're developing parts for renewable sectors, telecom infra as well.
Perfect. And we have a sizable portion of orders coming from EV, right? And that's for Tata is what I understand. So main product there would be shock absorbers is what I understand, right?
No. When I say EVs, we have a business not just for shock absorbers, also for what I said is a cooling system. There's a thing called a cooling plate, which if you Google, you'll understand what it is. It's made of very complex aluminium parts, very, very close tolerance, which we are developing, and the end application for that is the largest, highest valued EV company in the world. So that's where the parts are going to go. And so we make those parts. We also make some heat sinks, which are used in similar vehicles, electric vehicles.
Got it. And I assume, let's say the direct supply to the OEM where we are making, are we the sole supplier? I assume we would be, let's say, a second or a third. I mean, among the top two or top three suppliers, right?
So there's a lot of projects for which we are a single source supplier, and there might be some projects where we are one of the two suppliers supplying for a certain product.
Any major project where we possibly are a single source supplier, maybe?
This particular Tesla, this particular Tata project that you're talking about is...
Okay.
Is we are single source from India right now. We're the only one manufacturing these parts. These are being developed in India for the first time.
Great to hear. Yeah. Something. Second question was, when you say 720-750 crores odd crores of order book, I mean, is it a confirmed order book? I mean, do you have to supply those parts maybe in the 3-4 years? Just an indicative or more sort of budgeted order book where the offtake might or might not happen based on how the end OEM customer is doing, right? Is my understanding correct, or is it a confirmed order book that the OEM will have to take the offtake?
So in our line of work, nobody's placing orders for 5 years. So we don't get purchase orders for 5 years in our line of work. We get nomination letters, and these nominations are binding documents, and these binding documents are taken very seriously by both the buyer as well as the supplier. So based on this binding document, we set up lines, we make investments, and if the parts are not picked, if there's a serious deviation from that nomination, we are liable to charge the customer and the losses that we incur because of that. So it's taken very seriously. By that I mean that these are confirmed orders for us. That's how we look at it, as confirmed orders. And so 750 crores is the confirmed nominated order to us.
Perfect. Interesting. And sir, since major capex is towards machining, I assume almost 90-95% of our capacity would be fungible, right, across various parts, or do we have dedicated lines for specific parts? And are those the broader understanding I wanted is, are those capacities fungible across different categories of products and across customers?
Yes, that exactly is the beauty of our business. All our machines are fungible, so we are not putting. So we are buying CNC, VMCs, and we can pivot whenever we want. Essentially, the parts we're developing on these machines, whatever line comes to us would use the same machine. So we're not putting up dedicated, a very high gross block line for a certain customer, because we're only essentially buying the same machines. And so that helps us grow these businesses with very less risk.
Got
I'm
it.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Tej. May we request you to please rejoin the queue? We have other participants waiting for this.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, We request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Deepak Pandey from Sagun Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Saksham. Am I audible?
Hi. Yes.
Yes. Sir, just on the aerospace side, wanted to understand the technology that we are using. Is it going to be casting, forging, machining? Anything on those lines?
Hi. Can I have your name, please?
This is Deepak Pandey.
Hi, Deepak. Yes. So Deepak, we are investing in casting, forging and machining. You're absolutely right. We're also getting into, we also plan to get into stamping and sub-assemblies very soon. So essentially the idea is to become a company that has, that owns multiple processes and can make any metal part in the long term.
Got it. And for the forging line that you are putting up, is this what that, you know, defense and aerospace wants from you, or this is also going to cater to the auto lines as well?
So we have been buying a lot of forgings from our suppliers so far, and coincidentally these parts are used in defense. So currently we are what we call in-housing those products. So we're going to make them in-house, and that will help us improve our supply chain, improve our margins for those products. So essentially, the machines being put would be immediately used for defense lines, but we will see traction from our existing customers who buy a lot of hot forgings, whether they're automotive or other defense customers, and we'll set up lines with them as well once the process is proven in-house for us.
Got it. Sir, the defense part is more or less clear, you know, to the participants, but the aerospace part is somewhat missing. So what sort of products are you targeting there?
So when it comes to aerospace, we have very recently started the certification for AS9100D, which is the specialized certificate required to get into the aerospace sector. And we have been visited by several, when I say several, at least seven aerospace companies from the last, in the last 3 months. Five are from India, including PSUs and, you know, ordnance companies that buy defense and aerospace products, and also there's two other international companies that are taking, and one of them is of Israeli origin that is seriously interested in us developing parts of them for their defense and aerospace wing. Now, RFQs have been floated, and some of the parts are currently developed and under validation. This is where we are right now. We don't have confirmed orders, but you would see a lot of these expressions of interest convert into orders within the next, when we have an update for you next quarter.
Got it. So the last question before I join the queue. This is on the margins front. So, you know, by virtue of new segments, defense, aerospace, renewables, so do you, you know, expect margin to go above 20-25% in next 2-3 years?
So, in terms of gross margin, we do see an expansion of around a couple of percentage points, you know, immediately during this financial year, if not more. And this will, of course, you know, flow down to EBITDA margin expansion as well. But given the processes which we are now bringing in-house, like, you know, the forging capability, moving up the value chain, and then, of course, you know, parts like defense and aerospace, marine, these are very high margin exports business opportunity in terms of marine. Defense has significantly higher margin for our domestic operations. So all this will lead to good margin expansion going forward. Of course, you know, this will happen step by step, but our immediate target is, you know, to at least improve the margins by at least 2 percentage points for this financial year. And then, you know, as we firm up more orders from this segment, as you know, Saksham just mentioned, aerospace is something we just started working on. Defense, we already have some traction, you know, some of these customers are visiting us. So we do expect some orders maybe in the next 3 to 6 months. And as and when they start flowing into our revenue, there will be a good margin expansion because of all this.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Deepak for that. Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just first up, wanted to understand, what's the execution timeline of this current order book of 723 crores? You mentioned something about the defense order of 130 crores, which you'll need to execute over 10 years, right, out of this order book. But what about the execution timeline for the other order book?
So rest of the order book will be executed over the next 5 years.
5 years?
Yes. It's important to tell you by the medium of this question, I have to address that this order book is above and over our current revenue. So this is all new projects, new orders coming from the same customer or new customers that we've identified over the last few months. So our revenue continues to stay where it is and might even grow organically a bit. So this is important to mention right now that I have a chance.
Okay, fair enough. I got it. That's right. And my second question is on your margins. I mean, you mentioned this year we are looking to increase margins by 2%, right? I mean, from 17.5%, 17.8% without other income to maybe, 2% higher, right? 200 basis points. And so what would be our medium-term aspiration in margins? Because as the share of defense and aerospace increases, which would be margin accretive, right? So some understanding on your aspirational EBITDA margin that we may look over maybe what, next 3-4 years?
I mean, so 3-4 years, of course, you know, is a longer period term to sort of give a guidance on margins. But as probably you would see from our activities which we are undertaking, you know, to these are all focused on improving bottom line, you know, strengthening our businesses in terms of, you know, revenue mix, product mix. This, of course, will, you know, as a result, will flow down into margin expansion. I think over a period of 3-4 years, we might see a 4-5% sort of margin expansion. But again, these are, you know, ballpark, high-level numbers we are just putting out there. But we need to figure out, as we move forward, there will be a lot of investments in product development, you know, R&D, there will be a lot of ground-level activities which we have to also undertake to make this segment a sizable segment as we move forward, which of course will have its own force into it, but that will result into revenue flow, order flow, and hence we see there will be some margin expansion, but I guess we'll park it away for now. You know, we'll come with more updates as we, you know, get more orders, more revenue visibility on this segment. You know, just an internal target, we of course, you know, have a target of at least expanding our EBITDA margin by 4-5% over the next 3-4 years.
And what is the revenue mix we are seeing from these two segments over the next 3-4 years?
So, automotive will of course, you know, come down to below 70% is what we see. And defense, marine will of course remain a, you know, significant portion on the non-automotive side. At least, I guess, 25% sort of will be, you know, from defense / aerospace and marine within the non-automotive, and then balance 5% from, you know, the other segment, new industries which you are continuously adding. Now, you need to also, you know, acknowledge the fact that the entire segment, you know, all the industries are growing significantly together, and hence the, I guess the right way to put, you know, our growth in these sectors are more on CAGR form. You know, our defense, marine will grow probably, you know, at least 50%, 45-50% CAGR is what we, you know, foresee. And hence the, but at the same time, automotive is also growing by a good percentage point. So the revenue mix probably could vary here and there, but the growth within the segment will, I mean, we are optimistic within this, you know, new segments which we have added over the last 1.5-2 years.
Understood. And so that's very clear. I mean, marine, defense and aerospace will grow at 40-50% CAGR. That's what we are saying, right?
That's what we see for sure. I mean, defense, marine could actually jump much faster going forward. But, you know, with current, you know, order books which we have, some of the pipeline discussion which we are having, as and when they convert into, you know, real orders, I think we might have to, you know, change the numbers a bit.
Fair enough. Okay, okay. I got it. That's it from my side. All the best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. To both of you, I first of all would like to thank you for the initiative that you have announced that you will be disclosing quarterly updates. It's something that we have been requesting a lot of SME companies and the newly listed companies to do this voluntarily without anyone actually asking you. That's a great initiative. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Second section, I wanted to understand a little bit about the how should I look at your company? Is it purely a machining company which is now getting into forging? Is that what the production processes look at your shop floor? Are you procuring a lot of, you do have a casting unit as far as I know, but are you procuring a lot of so-called raw material from other ancillary units and then just purely machining? Is that what the business is?
Well, I would like to call ourselves a precision engineering company, not a CNC machining company. So we, our job is to develop a product, a very precise product, whether its application is in defense, automotive, aerospace, or wherever, and supply to that print supplied by the customer consistently for the years that the customer demands. Now, within that broad spectrum of precision engineering, we have different processes. We started with CNC machining, that is right, for which we buy steel bars. We buy steel bars from one of our ancillary, that's Omega Bright Steel, which is a steel supplier and the finest steel supplier in India.
Right.
And then from there, we got into investment casting 3 years back. So basically, we diversified into a new process. Within CNC machining itself, we have different processes. Some are ultra precise parts, which are used, in Germany to make very, very complex oil pumps, not just automotive parts. So within CNC machining, we have different processes called Swiss machining, grinding. Right. So we have all those capabilities. Then we got into investment casting. Okay. This year, we are getting into cold and hot forging. Now with those broad spectrum of processes in-house, and backward integrated by our own steel supplying. So I don't think there's many companies out there that have that kind of capabilities within one banner. Okay. So our goal is to be a precision in metal engineering part supplier to global OEMs. And that's where I see ourselves, getting. And we also would be getting into assemblies. We will move up the chain over the years. You'll see us getting into more and more complex parts where there will be a lot more R&D. And so that's where we're going to get over the next few years.
Section, this sub-assembly initiative that you will be doing, right? This will be restricted only to the defense and aerospace business, or would you be doing it in auto, so your traditional industries?
It could very well be in defense as much as in auto. So depending upon the opportunities where we get from and the value those opportunities bring, we will be making a decision according to that. And so it's not necessary whether it will be defense or automotive, or it could also be non-auto. Currently, we're talking with a lot of marine component companies based out of the U.S. who are willing to outsource a lot of their patented processes to countries in India. And we are at a very serious relationship and decision-making level with them as well. So there's a lot happening there, and these companies want to outsource their patented processes and get the production run in India with a trustworthy company, and we've proven to be one of those companies. So our business in the U.S.
Sorry, please go ahead.
So we've seen very strong traction from our American customers over the last 2-3 months since the whole tariff situations spun out of control between U.S. and China. So we've seen.
I was about to come to that.
Yeah, some of the largest orders inflow for us, and with those orders now we believe, and there's many more being negotiated right now, which we would update you about very soon. So we are seeing the largest ever order growth that we've ever seen in the history of companies.
Excellent. One final question. In terms of you mentioned how the switch in industry profile will lead to margin accretion. But this sub-assembly part, sub-assembly process is also very profitable, right? So how do you see that growing? In terms of process mix shift, how do you see sub-assemblies growing over a period of time?
The sub-assemblies, of course, is higher margins, higher profits. We recognize that, and we are quoting for a lot of sub-assemblies right now from our existing automotive customers, also some defense customers. So there is serious focus on sub-assemblies, and while I cannot disclose, you know, a definitive number of our growth in terms of sub-assemblies, this is something that a lot of sub-assemblies have been developed this year, and over the next H1, H2, we will be, you know, separately disclosing our sub-assembly revenue if needed.
Do you have an in-house design team as well?
We have an in-house, I wouldn't really call it a design team. We have an R&D sort of team that works on how to, you know, build a product. And these products would be, these products are analyzed with great, you know, meticulousness whenever a design is received. So there's a cross-functional team that analyzes the process of how to manufacture a certain part, which machines to order. So that is essentially the part that we do in-house for the drawings that we receive.
Thank you very much. Your answers have been very, very helpful. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants are requested to please limit their questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Deepak Kumar from Kalyani office. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Deepak, can you speak a bit louder? We are unable to hear you.
Yep. Hello. Hi. First of all, congrats on the on very fantastic results. I would like to, you know, understand a bit on more on the value proposition of our company. Like, what makes a customer stick to OBSC? I mean, what is the value proposition which you bring to, for the customers on the table? Is it the cost, best cost structure? Is it something like you have very quick delivery tag, or the product complexity is as such that only you can take care of that? So what is that, you know, that customers look for in OBSC?
So, of course, it's not just one thing that matters to any customer. It's a combination of all of the things that you said. We are, we believe we are, we are an efficient organization. We have very little fat in our company. So our processes are very lean, which keeps our costs low and which also makes us very agile. So that is one part of it. We are quick to respond. We're quick to change. We're quick to pivot. And so that is one part of it. Second, of course, we come from our organization, while it's just 7 years old, it comes from a pedigree of more than 50 years old manufacturing excellence. And that helps us negotiate better with our customers. That helps opens a lot of doors to the elite club of, you know, automotive component manufacturing, like the likes of ZF, Tenneco, JTEC. It's not easy to get these vendor codes. You know, if you're a new company and only 5 years in the industry, you don't, because one, there's, you don't have the kind of market intelligence as to where the products are used if you're just that young in the industry. So, and second, to know the people at the level where you can sit on those tables, you need the financial strength, you need years of experience that is provided by our group. So those are the two things I feel have been, you know, working for us. Plus, we have been very focused on finding new domains of businesses. Like I said, we have, there's a lot of business going in from the US, and one of the reasons is that at the right time when all this geopolitical shift was happening, we hired a dedicated team on the ground in the US. So we were quick to respond to that window of opportunity where we have a senior business consultant who's an American guy sitting in the US talking to the Americans and negotiating orders for us. So that's the way we work in. That's how we've always, you know, worked to get these orders.
Okay. Thank you. That helps.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Jain from Globe Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. My two, three things which I want to understand. I mean, first of all, I mean, in terms of our five plants, four of them are working almost, three of them are working almost 80-90% capacity, and the fourth one is 75-odd%, and the fifth one we're going to start in a few months. So I just want to understand of the future course of action, like future growth will be totally dependent on the new plant commissioning. Is it right?
So our plant in Chennai, which is our third plant, as well as the plant in Pune, that's our fourth plant in Pune, not talking about the new plant that we've set up for hot forging, are yet to come to full capacity. When I say capacity, there's space, there's the teams are created. In terms of revenue, you'll see massive growth coming from those two plants over the years.
Okay.
And the forging, the new forging plant being set up is sort of will convert into revenue from the end of the second half of this year. So you'll see the lines are being set up, and we are right now, validating products, or the machines have been ordered, some from India, some from abroad, and they'll land, and we'll be setting up those lines as well. So that's how we plan to bring new capacity to our organization. Long term, our vision is to consolidate. Short term, our vision is to consolidate these plants. Now, a lot of these plants are additional overheads. We do see ourselves moving into one single integrated plant of 5 to 6 acres within five to six acres of land, which we would call as a sort of a gigafactory for components, having different processes in-house. And with all those processes in-house, we'll be able to significantly improve our PAT margins as well. So because efficiencies naturally grow up when all these processes are in-house. So we'll see that happen very soon. We'll be making those announcements as well.
Okay, because I was just wondering, because Chennai plant is already doing 84% capacity utilization. So I was just wondering that how much growth we can expect from this Chennai plant.
So let me clarify. When you say 84% capacity utilization, it means 84% of the machines that are installed there are running, or machines are running to 84% capacity. But this, what you need to understand in machining business is that there's a lot more space to add new machines. So the teams are ready. So that's how we increase the capacity. We have to obviously do the capex there, but the land is there, the teams are ready, and that's how we grow.
You just need to install some machines and that is ready to go for production.
That is correct.
And second thing is, I just want to understand one more thing. I mean, on the ROE part. I mean, definitely we raised money in October 24. So it's been almost, for March, it's been only 5 months. So our ROE has come down from 40-odd% to 18-odd%. So what kind of ROEs with which we are comfortable if I talk about the next financial year and going forward also?
So, of course, I mean, you rightly pointed out, this is the deepest because of the IPO-led, increase in net worth. Before IPO, we have been maintaining a high ROE of, around 40%, but on an average, it has been upwards of 30%. And I guess now, as you move forward, maybe not just immediate this year, but in a couple of years or 2 to 3 years, I think we'll again reach back to the same ROE percentage. And that's the range we would like to operate at in, given the, again, all these activities which we have undertaken will lead to PAT margin expansion, flowing from gross margin to EBITDA. Defense, as a segment is growing almost 3 times this year. What we did last year was hardly 28-30 lakhs. This year we close at 5.5 crore. We are already on a run rate of 1.2 crore as of now. So for this financial year, we'll close almost 3 times growth in defense. This will, of course, lead to a margins expansion. So eventually, we'll probably reach the same ROE percentage, in the range of 40%. Of course, now since the base is much...
2 to 3 years.
Of course, this will vary, of course, by 6-9 months. But then, now since the base is much larger, so, 2-4 percentage points here and there is easily possible, but then we'll operate in the same range again very soon.
Got it. And one last question. I mean, for the FY25, the order book stands for 722-25 crores, which you have mentioned. What was in the FY24, this order book? How much new orders we have stopped?
Yeah, this was disclosed in DRHP. I think we were around 290 odd crore by FY24 March end.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, all the very best. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aryan Jain from Ritesh Oswal Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I would just like to say that the company has been doing very good work on the growth side, and kudos to the company. And the management has answered all my questions, so I'll just like to congratulate the company and move growth ahead. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your wishes. We hope we continue to make our investors proud by offering better growth over the years.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Charisha from Vendor Cap Growth Partner. Please go ahead.
I have one question. There was a document where you were talking about the Gujarat expansion. So could you talk a little more on that, machines, the product that you're building?
So we have been asked by one of our long-standing customer to set up a plant, dedicated facility for them in Sanand. And this facility will be producing shock absorber rods for commercial vehicles as well as electric vehicles. And so this is a confirmed letter of intent has been received from our customer now. And we will be working on the project over the next 6 months. And by the next update, you will have confirmed answers from us as to when the plant will start and what the location would be and what capacity we would be putting in that.
So this is not included in the order book, right? The 724.
This is not included in the order book.
Got it. And second question, the R&D part.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Charisha. We are unable to hear you clearly. Can you speak a bit louder?
Yeah, I was asking. The second question is the R&D setup which we have done in-house, how is it helping us? Because previously we weren't having it, right?
So companies like us need in-house technically scaled R&D people as we're growing at a very high speed. A lot of the processes which were previously outsourced, we are now able to get answers in-house with much less cost and effort because of our R&D wing that makes tools for us in-house, that does design work for us in-house. A lot of these processes were outsourced for the longest time, but with these new set of skills in-house, we hope it'll help us in our machining, casting and hot forging business as well. So that's all I can say for now.
So does this also help us, bring on more customers or something like that, bring more revenue or margin?
Yes, a lot of customers want in-house R&D segments, in-house tool rooms, and essentially, if you have in-house tool rooms, your turnaround time is much faster in terms of any breakage, any shortages. Now we have softwares, which we never had. Our R&D wing is now equipped with softwares that can simulate any part being machined or cast or forged. So all those developments have happened in the last 3 to 4 months when we've made significant investment in those things as well.
Got it. And if I may ask, we have done a lot of CapEx, the fourth plan. So what's the current workforce?
So we engage a total of 90-95 people on our payroll, which is our permanent staff. And we have around 700 people working for us right now in terms of the blue-collar workers, yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is the follow-up question from the line of Tej Patel from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity again. I just wanted to, in terms of, revenue potential, in terms of capacity, I just wanted to understand, is my understanding correct? We added about, in total about, let's say, 69 to 70 lakh pieces of machining capacity from the time of IPO up till now, right?
In terms of numbers?
Yeah, in terms of units.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah, around that.
Yeah, so got it, yeah. So on those capacity, I know after the CapEx of about 69 lakh units and we already had about 230 lakh unit capacity, what's the maximum revenue that we could achieve out of this current capacity?
Are we talking about the capacity added after IPO, right, Kush? Right?
Yeah. Okay.
So we will see with the current installed capacity, we will see our revenue grow to around 200 plus crores. So with the infrastructure that's already in there.
Got it.
So, and there's some capex that's already ordered and, you know, in process, there's machines being built. And once that is installed, that would be used for the next financial year growth as well.
Got it. So for the current financial year, that's FY26, what's the capex amount are we planning for? Apart from that forging unit, in terms of machining, what's the capex are we planning?
So the balance, you know, unutilized funds of 20 odd crores allocated for capex will be put in. And forging, of course, you know, there will be some more capex there in forging. Now, one thing also, you know, there is to highlight, you know, forging doesn't require much machinery in place, you know, to generate revenue.
Okay.
So the turnover, you know, asset turn from the machine will be much higher compared to, you know, the machining business. So eventually, the capex requirement will go down, and that's, of course, you know, will lead to better return ratios as well. And hence the revenue flow, revenue growth, when compared to the capex growth, will be much faster.
Got it.
I must also add that's also true for our casting business, where we've almost doubled up our lines and at a very low cost. Our casting investment casting business will more than double up this year in terms of revenue.
Got it. Interesting. So up till now, I think shock observers, force shock observers, we were, you know, probably procuring the forged part, right? And then doing machining on it. Is my understanding correct?
It is incorrect. So for shock absorbers, we were buying rods, steel bars, and then machining those steel bars to make shocker rods, piston rods.
Yeah. Got it. Great. And for the defense business, I just wanted, you know, after this recent event, are we seeing any, you know, increase in RFQs or maybe increase in order inquiries for our, you know, defense business in terms of, you know, from BEL or something? Just wanted to get an idea on that.
So I've already mentioned that, but we've seen major traction from defense right now. Like I said, we have been in touch with more than with around 7 different defense companies. These are very large players, whether they are PSUs or you know, countries overseas located in Israel. And so there's major traction coming for us, and there's a lot of RFQs. There's many parts which have been developed, and many of these are under validation. And these orders could turn out to be really big for us in the coming times. And that's where we are right now. That's all we can say.
Got it. No problem. Thank you so lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Pandey from Sagun Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just have a question on the revenue split. So can you provide a segment-wise revenue split for FY26 and FY27? And how does the auto segment, you know, look like in next 3 to 5 years as a percentage of total revenue?
So, we'll just provide probably, you know, for FY26 first. And I guess what we were saying is, I think we'll still have close to 80-85% of revenue flowing from automotive, which will, of course, have a split between EVs and non-EVs. So, of this 85% we'll have probably close to 25% of EV business within automotive and balance 60% coming from non-EV vertical. And then we'll have defense and marine taking up close to, you know, 13-14%. And we'll have balance 3-4% from, you know, other sectors as well. So that's pretty much about the sort of revenue split. So we are moving more towards non-automotive in terms of at least, you know, absolute numbers. So, you know, I guess a couple of years back, we were entirely automotive. Now non-automotive forms almost 15-20% of a larger pie, you know, when compared to the, you know, 2 years back when we were at less than 100 crore revenue mark. Automotive revenue was almost 98-99 crore. I mean, as in 98-99%. So the split is moving more towards non-automotive. Defense, marine are growing at multifold as of now, at least. And, you know, at least maybe because of a smaller base, but we do foresee a very strong, you know, inflow of orders in defense, aerospace, and which will eventually flow down into revenue. This is the first year of, you know, defense revenue, which we have clocked. So, of course, you know, now that quality, you know, consciousness has been there with customers, you know, they have appreciated. We have already received, you know, award from Bell, a zero defect award for, you know, last quarter of FY25. So they have recognized our work, and which, of course, you know, will this recognition, while the certificates might look just, you know, a small part of the overall business, but then the certificates certifications lead down to more order flow, more revenue flow. So I think eventually we'll have, as you know, mentioned in previous questions, we'll have close to 65% or sort of numbers from automotive, and balance 35% will come from non-automotive in maybe next 2 to 3 years. Of which, of course, you know, needless to say, defense will remain major pie, and then we'll have balance split between marine and other sectors.
And sir, can you also comment on the Tata AutoCom business? What is the scale of it right now, and how do you see it progressing in the next few years?
So Tata AutoCom is one of our largest, is going to be one of our largest customers very soon. And within Tata AutoCom, there's different legal entities. We are working with three companies in Tata AutoCom right now. The largest order is from Tata Toyo Radiator, and this company would be buying parts, aluminium precision milled parts from us. And this is, the total order is around 250 crores. So this is all electric vehicle parts, and it's a very big business for us. The new plant, that is plant 4, that we set up about a year back, was sort of dedicated for that one particular line. So we expect a 50 crores per year revenue, which is already nominated to us. Now, since Tata is so aggressively you know, growing with Tesla as well, as that, this is public information. So this Tata is getting a lot of new RFQs, new businesses nominated from EV manufacturers, and all those RFQs are being floated to us. We have converted one more business. The scope of that business will be shared very soon with you, because the volumes are still being you know, discussed, but we've already developed those samples as well, and that would be a very large business for us as well. So we are growing very fast with Tata, as Tata is growing with their customers. So the trickle-down effect is working very well.
Got it. Good luck for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Hi. So thank you. Thank you once again, Novama, for hosting, allowing us to do this con call with you guys. And to our investors, to our family's investors, you have invested in a very, in a fast growing, high growth precision engineering company that you'll see pivot from auto to defense to marine sectors with higher margins, higher gross margins. And we will continue to surprise you with ever-increasing order books from the US, from the defense sectors in the next quarterly updates that we're going to post out. So watch out for us, and do let us know if you have any more feedback. We'd be happy to answer over emails as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in case if you have any queries, you can please connect to Mr. Vijay Pandey from Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.